Meeting to order. The time is 11:45 a.m. Thank you, Clerk. Could you do roll call, please?
Congressman Big Horse. Second Speaker Hamilton. Congresswoman Redcorn.
Here.
Speaker Shaw.
Present.
Congresswoman Whitehorn.
Here.
Chair Rivard.
Here.
Okay, thank you, Clerk. Will you make note, please, that Congressman Hamilton's arrived? The next item on our agenda is prayer, and I was wondering, Congressman Big Horse, would you render a prayer this morning, please?
Yes, ma'am. Thank you, Madam Chair. Dear Lord, Heavenly Father, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, we come to you on this beautiful day, dear Lord, Heavenly Father. We come in a humble manner, dear Lord, Heavenly Father. You know all the chaos and turmoil that's happening around the globe. It happens right here too, dear Lord Heavenly Father. We just ask for your guidance and your assistance, dear Lord Heavenly Father, as we work our way through these situations. And there again, we just ask that you be with our veterans, be with our elders, be with our children, and be with all our constituents, dear Lord Heavenly Father. I ask all these things in your Son's name, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you, Congressman. The next item is the approval of the minutes. And those are found on your calendar invite. And those should be dated January 15th.
Chair.
Yes.
Motion to approve the minutes dated January 15th, 2025.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? Okay, hearing none, all those in favor say yes.
Yes.
Any opposed? Okay, thank you. Our minutes from January 15th have been approved. The next item on our agenda is the budget analyst report from Jordan Frazier. I'll turn it over to you, sir.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Good morning, committee. At the opening of the fourth special session, there remains $5.7 million available for appropriation from the general fund. At this time, there are just under $4 million in requests for general fund appropriations. If all were appropriated as currently written, it would leave $1.7 million available for appropriation. The retained revenue fund balance stands at $1.9 million. I recognize that this conflicts with the balance reported by Scott Manzer on page 2 of the handout I emailed out. His report shows a balance of $492,446. But pursuant to Osage law, we base the available amount on a memo provided by the treasurer, and this $1.9 million figure has been confirmed on multiple occasions now by the treasurer and his staff. There are no appropriation bills filed that would be sourced from retained revenue. Treasury's budget analyst, Ms. Motala, has reported there are at least $200,000 in unobligated funds held in the capital asset fund. There is one appropriation bill filed that would use that $200,000 to pay half the cost on a generator for the Pahuskawila facility. The ARPA fiscal recovery funds are completely obligated, and no bills have been filed this session that would impact the ARPA funds. This concludes my report. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Jordan. Are there any questions for Mr. Frazier? Okay. Thank you. I appreciate it, Jordan. The next item then is item 6, which is ONCA 2534, which is an act to authorize and appropriate the amount of $175,000 to the executive branch for a statue of Joseph Poninopashe, known as Governor Joe, and to establish an alternate effective date.
Thanks, Chair Rivard. I worked with a Seminole guy about 5 years ago, and he had a Governor Joe portrait in his office. And he said that he had always admired how the way we purchased this land, it wasn't like other Oklahoma tribes with their allotment era with the big government directives. We paid for this land with our own cash. And he really admired that, how clean that was. So Chief's words earlier kind of reminded me of that because, you know, right now we're under attack, our sovereignty, with, you know, we lost our BIA superintendent. We currently have a reservation. We're fighting at the federal level. Hopefully we'll prevail. I'm confident we'll prevail. And I think this is a good thing to honor one of our past leaders. And me and my Uncle Myron here, chairman of the Minerals Council, we'd been talking about this with Chief. And we think it's a good time to do this. And I was happy to sponsor this legislation, and I'm open to, if there's any possible amendments, I'm open to that, and I'm just really willing to hear what my colleagues think. So go ahead, you guys have the floor for any questions. Thank you.
Committee, are there any questions for Mr. Congressman Keene?
Oh, Chair, just one thing real quick. Where it will be located is right up by the executive building, it's my understanding, right by where our, well, sadly, recently.
Okay, committee, any questions for Congressman Keene? Congresswoman Whitehorn?
Do you have any idea about how the process is going to work with this statue? I know how it has with the previous two that we have put on our campus. Do you have any ideas of how this is going to work?
Yes, it's going to be similar. We're going to have an Osage artist, John Free, the very well-renowned John Free, construct a statue, and we'll have our departments assisting with the concrete work and everything like that. So yeah, it'll be just like the other ones is my understanding. So
thank you.
Committee or Congresswoman Whitehorn.
So did you So has an estimate been given that this is the total all-in price? So how do we get to the dollar amount, Congressman?
Okay, so actually, behind the scenes, I've had multiple meetings with the executive branch. We sat down, we talked to John as well. We had Mr. Sapahoodle with Tribal Works, the executive branch team, and we basically brainstormed out an estimate total. I do apologize, there's not actually an itemized figure to look at, but I did send an email correspondence with the total number that's on the bill. So I guess my understanding was, since we've done this before, I didn't know how deep I had to get with bringing in itemized estimates. So my apologies if that's not good enough. Thank you.
Madam Chair.
Well, good morning. Look, there's the voice of Casey Johnson. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. Yeah, Mr. Free, and I sent the info to the treasurer. There was a handwritten estimate by Mr. Free for $130,000 for the statue itself. And then Tribal Development gave me an estimate of approximately $45,000 for lighting, the base that the statue would be on, and a sidewalk leading up to here on the north side of the executive branch building. So that's where that number came from.
Okay. Committee. Congressman Maker and then Speaker Shaw.
Yeah, thank you, Madam Chair. Yeah, my question really has already been answered. I just had a few questions about the amount, and I did my reason for wanting to know, because I did the appropriation for the Claremore, Chief Claremore statue, so I kind of know how this works. And we got to see the artist model, a little small replica of what it was going to look like, you know, when we did the Chief Claremore. So I just wondered if you've got to see the like a replica model of it yet, or anything, or how it's going to be. Is it going to be standing or sitting? The pictures I've seen of Governor Joe, you know, very famous picture, photo of him, black and white. You know, he's sitting in his chair. It's a real famous. I don't know about the Seminole man that you're talking about.
Yeah.
What photograph it was? But the real famous photo of Governor Joe, real famous one. Pani Nopashi is how you say his name. That's my comment. Thank you,
Madam Chair.
Yes, so it'll go Casey, and then Congressman Keene, and then Speaker.
So, Congressman Keene and Chairman Red Eagle brought a bunch of different photographs and things like that. And I sat down with John one day, and we both thought one of the photos, and I forgive me, I can't remember exactly which one, but I want to say it's he's standing. Maybe he has a tomahawk in his hand. I don't really remember. But it's a nice one. And he said he was going to get to work. And again, I don't remember the name of the little statue. There's an actual name for it. But he said he was going to get to work on that now. And I said, well, John, you know, we don't have the money to pay you for that. And he said, I don't care. He likes doing it. I like doing it anyway. So that's in the progress right now. He's doing that on his own. I don't know how long it will take to get the little one done. But yeah, I think that answers Congressman Maker's question a little bit.
Okay. Thank you, Congressman Keene, and then Speaker Shaw.
Yeah, Chair. I have a picture actually here with, I'm going to pass around. I'm pretty sure this is what Casey's referring to. He's actually with Black Dog too, so I'll just let Congress members look at it. So here you go.
Okay, Thank you, Congressman. So what I would ask, because we have all the directors, everybody that comes to this branch asking for money, we always ask for support docs, no matter whether it's on our side or their side. So Treasurer, could you please send to us the information that was sent to you with the cost as a support documentation that showed the, I guess it was at the 125 or 125,000 and then the 40,000, whatever came from Mr. Free and from Silas's office, please. And then once we get that today, like today during this meeting, if we could get that, we can get it stamped in. Are there any other questions from the committee?
Madam Chair?
Yes, sir.
The work from Tribal Development is in the body of the email. So there's not like a piece of paper. So you'll need to print, I guess, the whole email chain.
Okay, that's fine. However, whatever you guys, we use for the support docs, just something that shows the cost. Thank you. Any other questions? Speaker Shaw?
Thank you. So I am absolutely, I'm not opposed to this in any way, but we are the Appropriations Committee. So I do think it would be appropriate to have some type of documentation before we vote on that, but you just took care of that. So I'm looking forward to that. But I just wanted to make sure that, you know, as the Appropriations Committee, I don't necessarily feel comfortable just approving a blanket amount without some type of breakdown. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. And let's, so on Mr. Free, Casey, so this would be a sole source, it sounds like.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Well, I do just want to mention that when we sole source, I do agree that, you know, I'm glad that we're using an Osage artist to complete these statues. So I just want to make sure that we're following all the steps required. So I'm going to have to ask Congressman Keene. I've received some text, some email about the statue, as you know.
Yeah.
And so one of the questions is, why now? Why right now during a special session? Why not, you know, during Hunka or Tsejo? Like, why now? And then the second was, did you reach out to the foundation to see if they could help maybe provide some money towards the statue?
Well, the timing, like I said, I think it's important to do this now with these litigation fights and stuff. I think this portrays, I just think it has a lot of meaning for our people. We've done this in the past, but, and to answer your second question, I know I have not reached out to the foundation, and I guess in hindsight, maybe I could have, could have done that, but I don't think, I would like to see this get passed through this special session during this special session. If so, thank you.
Okay. And then the third question, which is not on you at all, but the other question I'm getting is, what is the process for statues? What is that process that we use when we decide, or anybody, who the statue is going to be of, where is it going, and what does it look like? So could you talk about the process that you went through?
Yeah, and I think you kind of start a deeper conversation. So I would never want to be in the seat like this where we would have such a formalized process for things where an idea could not even come to the fruition in the form of a bill. You see what I'm trying to say? Like, if I had an idea, I've met with the executive branch, we kind of have a rough estimate. I would never want to be where you got to fill out form X, Y, Z, and A and B before we can even introduce the bill. It's basically what I'm saying. With great power comes great responsibility. To be in these seats that we occupy is an extreme honor. And I think, I mean, obviously I should have done more due diligence on my end with this project moving forward. But yeah, I guess that's more on the executive branch, you know, they're the ones who execute the law. So I wouldn't want that, you know, at the front end where we'd have to go through, because I think a lot of these questions posed are the executive branch would know. I honestly don't know. I mean, I'm, you know, we make laws and appropriate money. That's our primary role. I mean, I'm not saying we're just going to write blank checks and say, you know, there's got to be proper checks in place. But, I think some of these questions kind of speak to something deeper, separation of powers issues. So I don't know. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Any other questions from the committee?
Congresswoman. Madam Chair.
Congresswoman Whitehorn and then Casey.
So I guess since the Appropriation Committee looks at all of our appropriations coming through, we just had a report by the budget analyst. He's written a nice narrative. And if we appropriate everything asked for in this session, we'll have $1.7 million in the general fund of the Treasury. And are we comfortable in the month of February, March almost, with that remaining balance until our next fiscal year? I think that's a question that this committee has to consider. I'm for beautification of our campus. I am for putting our ancient leader statues on our campus. I'm not opposed to that in any way. But the job sitting here in front of us is to look at our dollars and cents and make the decision whether at this time it's a good thing to do. So I just wanted to put that out there because I don't know. If everything passed, I don't know that I like having $1.7 million left in our general fund until September 30th. So that's a huge question in my mind right now.
Okay, thank you, Congresswoman. Any other questions for Congressman Keene? Okay. Any action? So this at this point then, Congressman Keene, I'd really start talking about your statue and why I would want to do it right now. So you're not getting any movement, so I want you to, you know, keep talking.
Well, I feel like I've made a good case. I mean, I'm up the whatever the committee wants to do. I'm up to the will of the committee. I'm not on this committee, so.
Chair.
Congresswoman Redcorn.
I know we had discussed wanting support documentation, so I don't know if the committee wants to lunch on this and wait for documentation to come in and chew on it, or if the committee wants to make movement now. But either way, we can get support documentation in before the end of the meeting. But just
okay. Thank you, Congresswoman. And then I'm going to let Casey respond. He had had his hand up, and then Speaker Shaw. Go ahead, Casey.
Yes, ma'am. I was just going to answer the process of the statues specifically. We have a basically formal, informal way with the statues. We put in Chief Big Heart first and then Claremore. So you represented Pawhuska and Hominy, and the late John Williams, back when we were doing these things, thought that Governor Joe would be appropriate for Gray Horse. You know, a lot of families over there come from him as well. You know, and Johnny also had a horse named Governor Joe, so there you go. But so the idea was to go Pawhuska, Hominy, Gray Horse, to get every district, you know, included. And then there was no set order, so you could have gone Hominy, Gray Horse, Pawhuska the next time or whatever. But however many of these statues we wanted to make would have rotated between each district, and it was incumbent on folks from those districts to make a recommendation. And then, you know, so I don't remember who came to us. It was actually the Big Heart family that came with Chief Big Heart, but I don't remember who came to us on Claremore. And now Congressman Keene and Chair Red Eagle have come with Governor Joe. And I've spoken to some of the distant kin of Pawnee Nopashi over in Gray Horse, and they were all about it, you know, as a representative for Gray Horse. So that's really sort of how the statute deal works. So it's not formal, but it kind of is when you have to, you know, make sure every district gets represented eventually.
Well, thank you, Casey. I appreciate just thank you for adding a little bit of discussion to the informal process. Speaker Shaw.
Thank you. Motion to postpone ONCA 2534 to the call of the chair.
We have a motion and a second to postpone. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor say yes. Any opposed? Okay, in the meantime, sponsor, could you make sure that they get the support docs to us?
Yes,
Chair. Okay, all right, thank you. And then I would even make a copy of that.
Can I just say one thing, though, real quick, Chair? I mean, I don't know if we're going to get more detailed support docs as Mr. Johnson already laid out. The way we've done this in the past is kind of more informal. So, I mean, if the will's not there to pass it through, I assessment.
I would, right at this time, we're postponing so you can get support docs. So
I guess I'm saying the process, though, we won't be able to submit a lot more detailed docs, is my understanding, from the executive, unless Casey has more clarity.
Well, what we have to do, Congressman Keene, for this committee, I know, well, for Congress, when we anyone asks for an appropriation, anybody, yeah, they provide support docs. It's in the law that we provide a support doc. So we're just looking for something to look at that justifies the number. And we ask everybody to do that. And we're no different.
Madam Chair.
Yes, sir.
I just forwarded the email that I sent to the Treasury to all the clerks. So you should have that information.
Okay, thank you, appreciate it.
Ma'am.
Thank you, Chair.
Okay, committee, would you guys like to recess for lunch now, or do you want to keep moving? I'm open either way. Is the food here, clerk? Mrs. Whitehorn?
Do you know if the next bill's going to be very long? Do you have any idea? I mean, is that something we have to do?
Yeah?
It's going to take some time. Okay.
All right, well, let's just start. Okay, so the next item is a bill that I've sponsored, and so I'd like to turn it over to our vice chair, who is Congresswoman Redcorn at this time.
Thank you, Chair. You have the floor.
Okay, thank you. So I apologize in reading my bill that I didn't catch the title. So I apologize. So on this, I guess I'm assuming the committee is aware that the Home Health Board made a motion to close themselves to some degree as an entity, and We have a couple of things going on. We have past expenses, liabilities that they had out there. And so what happened is they were having a meeting and the chair at the time reached out and I referred her to the treasury because she was had questions about her their financials and some uncertainty. So I said, I think you need to reach out to our treasury department, see if the treasurer will help you, you know, gather the information that you need, or at least somebody analyze and look at your current financial situation. That's what I would do. And so she did reach out to our treasurer at that time. And the treasurer has submitted an appropriation request to handle the expenses that were there at that time. So I want to turn it over to Treasurer Batson, if I may, to discuss the actual appropriation.
Okay, well, this one has been fun because really it would have been nice to have known about it sooner than we did. But all I know is that the cash flow has not been sufficient to cover operations in at least a year. And basically it's going to, I'm not a health expert. I don't claim to be. All I know is that you need more patients. You need to bill more and bring in more money to cover the expenses. And that hasn't been happening. Like Jody said, the board took some action, essentially dissolving themselves to some degree, but the board's gone, the employees are gone, the accountant's gone, everyone's gone, and it's been in my lap. I'm just checking with Jeff now. He's been working on trying to get us access to their accounting software so we can look at their records in detail, because right now all I have is some summary reports. And the estimate we got from Kaylee, who was there, or maybe Kaylin, I'm not sure which, who was the accountant handling the books, was that it was going to be $90,000. But my experience is that whenever there's a quick estimate done on that, they're usually low. And I just rounded up to $150,000. But I do know this. I got a pile of stuff probably this thick right now. I think there's... I'm not even sure what all is there because I haven't had any access to any money where I can pay anything because nothing's been appropriated. And I would really like to get this. I encourage you to pass the bill and let me get paid who we need to get paid. And I did sign the Medicare cost report, which is a report that has to be, when you bill Medicare, you have to do it. The first time I did it was with the clinic back in like 2016. But, and I can't even remember who, we had somebody call and leave a voicemail one time saying that they wanted to buy the billing number. So that may be of some value. I don't have any estimates of how much, but I thought we needed to keep our reports current so the number would stay viable. And then you guys can decide if you wanna, whatever you guys wanna decide with the entity itself, that's not my concern. But I would like the appropriation passed so I can get the stuff wound up and get the vendors paid, and then you guys can handle the rest.
Treasurer Batson, do you mind articulating in a little bit more detail for the committee and anybody else that what some of the basic expenses are, the primary expenses are that will be covered from the appropriation?
There's going to be some payroll. There's a few vendors. There's going to be taxes to the state of Oklahoma and federal withholdings. And I think that they were paying SUTA, but basically it's going to be payrolls and a few vendors. And one of the big ones being the, and I also have a bunch of checks that were brought to me by the chairman that go back to December of checks that were cut, but they weren't paid because there wasn't enough money in the bank account to cover them.
I have one more question, and then if anybody else on the committee has any. So the amount that you have, sorry, I'm getting my thoughts together. The amount that you've requested, is that balanced out at all by any payables that you know are coming in? Or is that just your attempt to, which I'm not opposed to, by the way, but your attempt to just get everything paid and cleared out and taken care of, and then we'll talk about receivables later? Because there are, because that's a part of my conversation about this is, I'm assuming because we did have patients at the time of ending services, there are still services that are being billed for or can be billed for, so money would then need to come back in. So is your amount considering that, or just are you just wanting to take care of everything right now and move on?
Well, we need to pay the vendors and employees that we owe, I believe. As for the, like the way we did it when I was at the clinic was we would, when we did the billing, we estimated that we were actually going to recover half of what we billed. So we'd do an allowance, and so we'd adjust it, so it'd basically be 50% of what was the accounts receivable would be knocked out, and we would take that out of the current revenue. I know that process has changed a little bit, but I do know that for the reports that I was able to obtain for home health, the accounts receivable number has been the same for a couple years. It has not changed.
Congresswoman Whitehorn.
So Treasurer Batson, are you satisfied that whatever the Medicare collections and payback and how that works, how that system works, that are we at the end of that, or are is there still ongoing dollar amounts out there that, that have to be settled, as far as you know, with the Medicare or Medicaid payments?
My understanding from what I was told by the former chairman, I guess, is that everything they could bill for has been billed. But again, I've accounted for those entries. I've never actually been involved on the billing side.
And so if there's any more incoming payments, you're not completely aware of that yet?
Yes.
Okay, thank you so much. One more thing. Do you have access now to those accounts to be able to view them from your position?
We don't have online access, but the signature cards have been replaced by the standard signatories of me, chief and assistant chief. And I don't have online access anymore, but we could go down. I've sent someone down to the bank to get the current balances whenever I need them. So.
And in all of this, do you see any outstanding liability to the nation if we go ahead and appropriate these dollars and you take care of it? Are our liabilities going to be clear on this?
I think I've estimated big enough that it's going to cover everything, and there will likely be money that comes back.
Chair, did you have something?
Yes, I had a question. I don't see. Is Jimmy, or that's you on the call. Where are the patient records at this time?
Chair.
Go ahead.
I do not have an answer to that question. I will reach out to the former chair of the board and try and get you that answer prior to your next meeting.
My understanding is they're in our archives.
Okay. Question?
Congresswoman Lemon.
Okay. So from what Treasurer Batson just said, I'm comfortable with where we're headed with this as far as the money piece goes. When you said 90,000, I thought, I don't know why, but even just in my gut, I was like, there's no way. It's just going to be $90,000. So I'm very comfortable with the 150, knowing that there could be some leftover, which is totally fine. I think it'd be a good lesson for us at this point concerning records of a health quality. Also, the fact that there's probably behavioral health records connected to this, which has an even higher level of security that is needed. So I would appreciate some correspondence on how those records are kept and if they're kept in the manner they need to be kept for security reasons, also being behavioral health records. And I haven't been in the medical field, but I do keep up. But I haven't recently researched about behavioral health records. And the reason I'm telling you guys this is because they usually have to be behind 2 to 3 locked doors or in, anyways, there has to be 3 different locks or 2 different locks that they have to get to. Of course, the door, the front door to the facility is considered one. And so I would appreciate if we could get that information, Mr. Aldridge. And if that is something that we commonly do, and if not,
I'm gonna have Secretary Barrow.
Yes,
update us on
that. That would be great. Thank you.
Thank you. I can answer that question. So we had archives go down there before it closed, and they packed all the files, everything in boxes. Now, remember, when you talk about archives, they're very detailed. They have a list of what goes in those boxes, and they've taken them down to the archives warehouse. So it's behind multiple locks to get there, and the warehouse has a lock.
Okay, so then you also have to have...
There's cameras.
Not necessarily that. You have to have who has access to those particular records that have... because they're health records. Because it would be limited. Not everybody should be able to just go in there and access. And so there should be like a list, and then of course like a little bit of an orientation and training on that.
Correct. The only people who have access right now are the staff at the archives building or department. I meant. As well as the equipment, like the equipment that was there at home health as well. IT's already been in there and they've taken everything out of there. So as far as I know, as far as the files and the equipment, the IT equipment, that's already been taken out of the building.
May I? So are there other health records in archives?
I'd have to ask.
Well, the only reason I say is because it might behoove us as a nation, as a safety net, to have a policy and procedure in place concerning health records that are going to be in archive, and then behavioral health records that are going to be in archive.
I'll look into
and technically, most health records need to have some type of behavioral health. They have some type of behavioral health documentation in them. But when I'm talking about behavioral health, I'm talking about like if a home health had a person was admitted to home health for memory loss or dementia or things like that. Those are the ones that have to be even, you know, like doubly or triply protected. But I just think they all should be anyways, and it's easier to do it. All health records that way. Right, because why have a special piece over here when we're always talking about, you know, mental health,
right,
you know, and being healthy. So I hope that you can get moving on that. Thank
you. Congresswoman Rivard.
Okay, thank you. And then I think we should probably recess for lunch. I think Congresswoman Whitehorn had a question too, but I just want to put this on your mind. What I understand, and I feel like the AG is on the line, and Trey, I don't believe he is, but we've got two things going on here. One is an appropriation to get us caught up to where we are, but what's not on the proclamation was whether or not we're going to keep this entity alive or not, because it will take a vote of Congress through a resolution and the chief's office. So that would entail us having conversations with the executive branch. This is brand new to us. He would have to, if Congress agrees to keep this entity, which is not under the Health Authority Board, it's under the executive branch, then CAHICA would have to appoint 3 new board members. Because right now, they have, well, a couple things have happened. I think they dissolved themselves by a motion, which was interesting. Number 2, they've all resigned. So my question before we, for me is, Jimmy, who's in charge of right now? Who's the point of contact in this transition?
Can you specify?
Well, if I've got a question about where's the keys and the records in the office and who's in charge of this entity at this time under the executive branch.
I will get you an answer to that question, ma'am.
Okay, and it's only just because so that we all know who the point of contact will be at this time with, like, where's the keys to their office?
Yes, ma'am, I understand.
Okay, all right, thank you.
Congresswoman Whitehorn.
So I'm so glad that we have Congresswoman Lemon as a professional that knows these things, that just informs Congress and the people of what we're doing in this wind down, if indeed that's what we're doing. And I appreciate you brought, that Congresswoman Rivard brought up the fact that we don't know if we're completely wound down on this or what other steps need to be taken. But for what's before us here on the table, I'm ready to move on that and pass it out of Congress unless you think we need to come back and talk about it some more. Anybody?
Oh, what I would like to do after lunch, I want to amend the title because it says closing. I want to remove that language. I didn't catch that at all in the draft of this bill.
Okay.
Because it says the associate, it'll be minor, but could we do that after we recess?
Sure, we can work that amendment while we're okay. Having lunch and come back in and do it and pass it out. Second.
There's a motion and a second to recess until 1 o'clock for lunch. Any discussion? All opposed say yes. I'm not opposed. All in favor. Sorry. Apparently I need to eat.
You were tricking us.
I know.
Yes.
Just making sure everybody's paying attention. Okay. All of those in favor, please say yes.
Yes.
Any opposed say no. We're recessed until 1 o'clock.